Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jen, who's here to talk with us about her experience of practicing with the at-home yoga offering. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Anna.
Hey, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's so, fun to be on this side of the phone, if you will.
I know, right? So perhaps you could start by telling us a bit about what the at-home yoga offering is and what you've been seeing as you've been practicing with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So much like so many things, I think we may have talked about it when the at-home yoga offering was first put out there, that like so many other things in this really different time, you know, possibilities that have been in the wings for, you know, however long have come really to the top. And I remember our yoga teacher who made these at-home yoga offerings talking about how for a long time she'd been wanting to offer virtual things. But, you know, life happens and there's lots of demand for in-person yoga and that sort of thing. But with the pandemic, just really getting to, wow, now is really the time. And so I think this is maybe the third round of it being offered. And it's really extraordinary what we receive when we register for it. So I think you register essentially for 4 weeks. And what that means is each week, our yoga teacher creates, I think pretty much every week it's been two offerings. I don't know if that's how it's going to be in this coming session or not, but, and they're all different things. Like sometimes, usually one is a video and one is an audio, and they're different lengths and different, you know, some of them are, you know, really, you know, things you could do very quickly in your morning, you know, 10 minutes. Other things are long. If you wanted to do a full, you know, 45-minute, 50-minute yoga session. Some of them are restorative, which is some of my very favorite. Restorative yoga being kind of where you stay in poses for a longer period of time and really, really supported poses. The idea is that you put yourself in the pose in a way that lets the whole body completely relax. And hold those poses for some time. So those are some of my favorites. So basically, it's just each week, these two things are sent out that you can download and then use them throughout the week to practice with. So that's how the offering works.
I love that. I love how you said, you know, it's amazing what we receive when we registered. It is amazing what we receive when we say yes, right?
It is.
The saying yes of the yoga teacher to this, to offering this, and then the saying yes of registering and getting to receive these yoga practices every week. And it sounds like there's really something that's appropriate for any part of the day, right? As you say, there are really short practices.
Absolutely.
Just a few minutes, and then longer practices. So more active, restorative. Something for kind of something that's appropriate to every moment and every flavor.
And really, as you say that, that's why I plan to register for as long as she's going to be willing to offer it. Because first of all, I feel like wow, it just feels so generous that there are files I haven't even had a chance to open yet because there's so many of them, and I love working with them. And so, it's like this growing library of yoga that I have available to me. And so, I plan to just sign up for it every time, partly because I'm just so grateful that she does it, that I want to keep really supporting it. And what I find in doing it, one of the things, and I think this is stated in the write-up, is that, you know, she's the yoga teacher for our practice. And that really translates. I really find that very, very helpful because, you know, there'll be sort of beautiful tie-ins to what we're looking at a particular time in practice, maybe a tie-in to the year-long retreat theme that we're working on, or just the language that's used, you know, just our practice, the yoga is infused with that. And so that feels like it really brings it specific to my own practice. And so the yoga really is a support for my awareness practice in general. And also the other piece that I really enjoy is that, you know, I guess like many of us, yoga is something that I really want to do. And it's easy for the voices to put it, you know, towards the bottom of the list. But when there's someone who's taken the time and care and love to put it together in the way that it's been put together so beautifully, it really ups my chances of kind of, you know, having that support that I want to do this because it's been put there out for me. You know, it's all already done. I don't have to think about it. I just, you know, press play on my device that I'm using and there I am being completely supported as if I'm kind of in an in-person yoga class. And as I say, with Sangha. So it's a little bit like being on a mini retreat.
Oh, that sounds so fabulous, Jen. It's like what I was hearing in that is like the generosity meeting the generosity. So like you recognize the generosity that it's being offered with, and then there's that generosity in giving it your attention, right? And as you said, building that library. So every session it's offered, new practices come out, right, two a week. Mm-hmm. And so you get to build that library and you can watch them whenever, right? And you can watch them again and again.
Exactly. Oh. Truly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. As I say, I have an ambition at some point to really see them all. But yeah. It's funny because I was looking at that, Anna, as the when the offering came out again, I was so delighted, kind of like you were just saying, I was so delighted at the, my first reaction was, oh, yay, you know, I'm definitely going to sign up again. And I realized that was so lovely to receive that because easily the voice could say, well, I have so many already. I mean, I don't need to sign up again. But it's not about needing to sign up again. It's it's about that generosity meeting generosity, like you were just saying. Yeah.
Mm. And as you said, as you practice with these yoga practices that come out, it's all awareness practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, people talk all the time about, you know, I know Sequoia did a workshop for us a few weeks back, and I, to be honest, I can't right this minute remember exactly what the component was, but there was a physical component to what she was asking us to do around fear, and I've heard so many people in different contexts refer back to that, and so how helpful it is to remember that, you know, the body's part of this equation here too, like we are in form, and so taking care of that and being aware of that and how I think we were talking about this on another Good News Update recently, how the body is in this moment. It's here in the present moment. And it's such an ally to us in our journey of awakening. And as we say, it's the vehicle of awakening. So it's such like a kind of cycle of giving and receiving, of taking care of the body and receiving all that comes from living inside of a body that's taken care of and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting to really steward that vehicle of awakening, huh? Be with it in all these different ways, explore and experiment and curiosity. Yeah, that's exactly so.
And I also appreciate the strength that comes with it, as well as the, you know, we live a pretty physical life here at the monastery in general. And so I appreciate having the, you know, the different ways of attending to the body. So, you know, you can go out and do some really hard physical work, which is lovely. And then to have the time to really be, to stretch and to attend to the movements and the mobility and all of that. That's another piece that I really appreciate, having that well-rounded way of caring for all different parts of the body.
A well-rounded way of caring for all different parts of the body, right? So as you say, like, we're going around in our lives and there are certain parts of the body that might get moved and strengthened, and to have then this offering that addresses and speaks to and works with all sorts of parts of the body in ways that they might not get to be worked with and might not get to serve in our regular life.
Exactly so. And actually, one last thing I just thought of as we get to the top of the hour here, is one of the other things I love, and this is, you know, over the years, really getting to have had the gift of doing a lot of yoga with really amazing yoga teachers, is that I find that I have favorite poses, and I now have kind of, in my head, I have all the prompts that these great yoga teachers give us. Mm. And so one of my other favorite things to do is I make short audio recordings for myself in my mm-hmm. own voice, taking me through a short yoga thing. And I might combine that, for example, with what I know I want to hear as I wake up in the morning and what mm-hmm. I know as I go into my day. I might combine that with all these yoga practices that I've gotten to know. And that's another lovely way to lead myself through yoga. And I find that in using these yoga videos that are and audio recordings that are being offered to us, it kind of increases my repertoire, if you will, of things that I can put on those recordings for myself.
Increasing that repertoire and using it in your recording and listening practice. It's truly all awareness practice, huh?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So much, much gratitude to our yoga teacher for offering that to the Sangha.
Yeah, yes, much gratitude to the yoga teacher and much gratitude to you, Jen, for being with us to talk about it today. And go ahead. Yeah.
No, go ahead. Yep, I was just going to say thank you, too.
Before we hand the show over, we'll mention that there's a new session of the at-home yoga offering starting on August 14th, and registration is open now.
Excellent.
All right.
I know I'll be signing
up. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Anna. All
right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we'll hand the show over to Bob and Ashwini.
Thank you, Anna, and thank you, Jen. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Ashwini.
Hey, Bob.
Hey. That was a fun discussion. I just, you know what dropped in for me as they were talking is like, just, you know, with that yoga offering, it's just so amazing how even though everything has changed this year, it actually feels like there's far more practice available to me this year than ever before.
That is the truth. I think we heard that on the radio show this morning, how there's such a gratitude. Someone said, oh my gosh, I don't want to actually say this, it sounds so horrible, but with the pandemic has given me more time for my practice.
And I just have to say, I never thought about that, making my own recording for something like yoga, because I certainly do with things like if a new music's come out, I'll record that and listen to it, or a year-long focus, I'll do that. But that is such a fantastic idea and tip I'm going to have to take up for myself.
Yeah, and that's what I think is so fascinating, right, Bob? The more we get on the radio shows and we share, there's so much that someone else's practice can bring to our practice, because it's a perspective we would never have, we would have never thought of. And now we can incorporate it.
Yeah.
A giant bowl of creativity that we could all sample from.
Exactly. All right. So unless you have something, I have someone else here.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Bob.
All right. A new book, I Know Why the Buddha Laughs, is a collection of stories that illustrate the teachings of daily recollection, the recitation that is said at the beginning of the first sit of the day. A limited edition of this illustrated practice book is available for pre-order by donation. Go to the What's New webpage at livingcompassion.org. Taking care of our bodies and minds seems more crucial than ever in these current difficult times. An at-home gentle yoga series provides support in cultivating and or strengthening a regular practice of stewarding the body. These brand new yoga sessions, which run from August 14th to September 4th, incorporate themes from the year-long retreat and other elements of awareness practice. What would it be like to start the day basking in unconditional love and acceptance? A new group coaching class, Mornings with the Mentor, can get there. The four-week virtual class is on Wednesdays, starting September 9th. If you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, enjoy the extra support of meditating with Sangha with virtual meditation groups. The 30-minute conference call meditation sessions happen 7 days a week. For a full schedule of the groups, visit the Full Meditation Group's webpage at livingcompassion.org. For these and other practices, visit livingcompassion.org. All right,
well,
Ashmi.
It certainly sounds like there's always more practice to do, right, Bob?
Absolutely.
Every week there seems to be something new that's on the schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to bring our first caller here, Ashwini. First caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Laura in Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Well, what I have been looking at is recording and listening, and the fact that I have not been doing that, that I, before shelter in place and all that, I kind of had times during the day when I would always record and listen, like I, you know, on the way to work and different times while I was at work and then on the way home from work, and, you know, there was sort of a schedule to it. And then now I'm just at home and it's like I could record any time, but it's like I'm finding myself not doing it.
So the reason you're not doing it as you watch that process is simply that the way the voice talks you out of it is there's so much time to record and listen, and so it just doesn't happen. That's the mechanism that the voices use.
Yeah, that there's, and I don't really have a specific commitment about when I record anymore. Is what,
it's
and
amazing.
I've just sort of started realizing this. Like, I think in some ways, like, I kind of have a story that, like, oh, I record and listen a lot, because that hasn't been the case for many years. But then it was just like dawning on me, like, no, I haven't been.
Yeah, that's so helpful when life knocks and says, hey, you might want to wake up out of the story that you do and look to your experience and then realize, oh my gosh, this thing that's been so helpful to me is not something that I'm, I have a lot of attention on.
Yeah, and so as I've been sort of noticing that, now I'm sort of hitting the, like, I don't want to.
Yes, that's predictable, right? So long as you're living in the story that you record and listen, you're not aware that you're not. And now that you are aware that you don't record and listen, the resistance kicks up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting, right, Laura, because there's so much awareness of the support structure that would assist you to go back into recording and listening, which is a rhythm, right? That getting into the rhythm of it, if you have times when you know you're going to record and listen, then the story of you have all the time in the world to do that isn't something that is believable anymore, because now this is the time I record and listen. And so that we're not having an argument about that, or I don't need to get into a story of I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because you can't will yourself to record and listen, right?
No.
There's nothing to analyze about why you're not recording and listening, or you can't, you know, persuade yourself to record and listen. You just have to record and listen. There's no two ways about it. You either do or you don't, right? Especially, you know, with your level of practice where you know what resistance is, you know what the voices are, you know that this is the pattern by which you're stopped from doing this. And so since you've seen everything about it, the only thing left to do is to actually press record.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that's been something that has been challenging for me kind of with being at home now, is just that all of a sudden everything is negotiable in some way, in that way that I'm only showing up for myself. You know, and so just I think.
Well, that's such an important point, right, Laura, that we will show up for everybody else.
Mm.
But if I'm only having to show up for me, then I don't have to do that. That's why we say we will do for the love of others, because there's such a strong conditioning not to show up for ourselves, because mm-hmm. there's a way in which we've been negated so much that it's, you know, why bother? Such a level of negation that we would miss if we weren't looking closely at it. Well, and what I love about this conversation, right, Laura, is that you're registering all of the ways. In fact, it's the assignment on the morning show on the year long around the answer is in the conversation. We're just not allowed to see it, right? Because you're clear that the reason I recorded and listened before is because there were times in the schedule that were devoted to recording and listening. So the obvious answer that is being offered to me is I need times on the schedule to record and listen in order for me to support myself. Just like, you know, I'm at home all the time. And so there isn't a, you know, I'm not showing up for anyone else. And so then, you know, maybe you go for a walk 3 times a day with your recorder as a way of getting outside the house so everything is not inside at home. And so when we listen closely to the conversation, all the clues that we need in terms of what we actually do to get out of the circumstance that we find ourselves in is actually available in that in that lovely, wise way.
Yeah, and I think partly I just wanted to call in and just kind of put it out there, because I've just been noticing it, and I don't want conditioning to be able to gloss over it or say, oh, well, it's not a big deal or any of that. So,
Precisely. Right. Yeah. If something has been supporting you, it's going to make darn sure that you don't have it to support you when you most need it.
Yeah.
And I project you love doing it, right? It's something you want to do, not something you should do.
Yeah, and that's been something that as when I have recorded and listened about it, it's like, yeah, I want to do this, so I'll find a way to make it work. But
well, I don't know if you're signed up to do the next recording and listening, the class that we're going to do in August, or, you know, coming soon, a new recording and listening curriculum.
Yep, I am looking forward to that. I was like, that might be a good way to get me back into it.
That's right, exactly.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. I love that conversation, Ashwini. So many things in there that I loved about it. But I think something that you were both pointing at toward the end of that discussion was like, you know, being in the process of participating, calling into the show rather than being in that conversation, which I could easily go to of like, you know, why am I not recording and listening? Which actually never leads to the question of why am I not recording and listening?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, we're always, it's so important to stop talking about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And to know that we need some kind of an external agency, like calling into the radio show, to switch us from the story to the action, right?
Right. And it kind of points to, I think it was Sunday's call, but like when Sherry was talking about, you know, essentially, well, that place of, you know, one process does not lead to another.
Right.
And so
Exactly. What a good point.
If on this call, I cannot be in discussion about why I'm not recording and listening. I'm participating and I'm practicing.
Yeah.
And getting support.
It's just complete. Yeah. Get completely delightful.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to bring on our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hi, this is Hi, this is Pasha from San Francisco.
Hey,
can
Pasha.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. So, sorry, I was double muted. Yeah, it's amazing to be on air and again connecting with Sangha, as I feel like only a few minutes ago I finished listening to the morning show.
Yeah. It's like swimming in practice.
Yes, it's contrary to belief of like pandemic isolation, it's even more available and accessible, as I didn't even have to drive anywhere to get to a group. I can call in and participate, and there are so many programs and workshops available, which I'm very grateful to be to participate.
And not to forget, right, Pasha, that the reason it's available and accessible is because you access it, right?
I didn't hear well. What did you say?
Well, access just it? That simply that you make the effort to take part in what is offered. Because it's fine if all of these things are offered, but if nobody takes part in them, they're really not. That's an option, but you're not doing that. You're availing yourself of all the opportunities, and therefore having the experience of being completely surrounded and supported.
Yes, and that was my experience too. That with all the schedule shifts, somehow I find myself busy with everything at home. And, I do have to make that effort to find time to plan and put practice in the schedule. Otherwise, conditioning just spreads out and feels all the time available.
What you're pointing to, exactly what we were talking about with Laura, that it's possible that the day or the daily activity could take over your entire schedule, but you make it a point to make practice part of that schedule because it's important to you and you're choosing it. You're prioritizing it.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And also I saw there was a period on the news or something that pandemic is coming down or reducing, and then I find myself, actually, this is the time when I want to really practice, and because it's such a perfect opportunity to be at home, to to really give myself to practice, and then it might be over, and then there was the moment, this is the time. I don't want to miss that valuable opportunity to participate more and to give myself more to practice. And it was almost like I don't want to waste that precious opportunity, that gift of participating and being included and. This is a time to practice.
Well, and it's so true on both the content and the process level, right, Pasha? Because the circumstances are making it more possible for you to devote more time to practice, and you can see what a great benefit that is. And we also know that those circumstances might change at any moment, and that availability might change. And so to take advantage of the opportunity given to you by the circumstances, and it, at a process level, it really allows you to train, right, Pasha, to regard every moment as that gift.
Yes,
right?
Every moment is a gift, yes.
Yeah, and that's how I want to live. I want to live with that attitude of mind regardless of circumstances, and since these circumstances are conducive to me practicing that, boy, do I want to take advantage of it.
Yes, yes. And one more thing I saw this week was there was a time when I went for kind of walking meditation outside, and then after some time I saw Pasha as if I'm just observing. I don't know how to describe it, but I'm observing. I'm not so much identified with being Pasha, but I'm observing Pasha, and I'm seeing him. And after some time, I had this experience of, who am I observing him? As we had this conversation about, you know, I and on the workshop and, you know, pronouns. But in that place, there is nothing I can say about who am I. But at the same time, I feel such a joy of being not only being Pasha, but also being observing life and being included in life in just. Just observing, it's already such a joy to be alive, to see life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm explaining.
Yeah, and would you say, Pasha, that the experience that you were having is just pure awareness, right? When we try to describe it in terms of what is being observed or who's being observed or who's observing, the point that we miss is that the observation is the awareness, and that if there is attention on the awareness, then that experience is joyful, right?
Yes.
We attribute a lot of words to the reason that's happening is because of X, Y, and Z, or being included in life or whatever else. But what you're actually pointing to with the words is the experience of an identification with awareness and how joyful that is.
Yes, and it's like you said, it's regardless of actual experience. You know, what is it? What's the content? It's just being in awareness is the joy of being in awareness,
being awareness, right? Not even being in awareness. Yeah. Being awareness is an extremely joyful place, a joyful experience.
Yes, it felt for a moment I stumbled on a sensation that feels like almost out of the body experience. It felt like out of the ego experience. When I'm out of ego, ego describes that as like, wow, that's weird. What dropped in is. I'm so kind of identified with being me and I, and that experience of not being me and I, it looks weird for ego if it would try to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, precisely. Yeah, precisely. That's so well stated. Out of an ego, the out of ego experience. So hard to describe in words. And part of how it gets described as this is weird from the perspective that doesn't experience that.
Yes, exactly. Ego doesn't have that experience to describe it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm deeply grateful for practice and all opportunities and all workshops and signing up for every possibility available. So thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Pasha, thank you for your insight.
Thank you, Pasha. And Ashwini, once again, another great conversation, something I've been looking at since Sunday's workshop around just how words will always seem like they eventually fail us to describe experience.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, and that we still use them, right? Because processing is such an integral part, and we pay a lot of attention to the words we choose precisely because of that.
And when you're saying that, what occurred to me is like, then I guess, is that you know, that to be in involved in this practice, we do use a lot of words, and we do, you know, try and describe what is going on and our experience and what we're seeing in our practice, and how important it is to do, you know, essentially what we did on Sunday, which was to kind of check in. Well, how are those words working for us now? You know, not to just kind of go unconscious to what we know is going to be eventually a trap from conditioning.
That to look to our experience for the words, not to look to conditioned mind for the words.
All right, I'm going to bring our next caller on.
Hi, Ashwini.
Live on the air, will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, everyone. This is Sylvia from Connecticut.
Hey, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, good. I was calling because, first I'll share my deep gratitude about the year-long retreat and all the practice opportunities. And sometimes during the year-long retreat, it's difficult for me to be in the queue, but there's also open air, so I said, okay, let's show up and see if I get selected to talk, and here I am. So I wanted to talk about the something that dropped in for me, which was the process of feeling bad. So I noticed the more awareness practice I've been doing through now years, the more I realized how unconscious I was many years in my life. And through those years, my belief or what I think is that conditioning sets in a way that creates patterns. And so there's this moment every day, I would say, that it's the moment that I call it the feeling bad moment of the day, because I don't, especially towards the end of the day. So at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, the topic can be, the content can be different, but somehow ego every day, at the end of the day, when, you know, when things settle, it just kind of brings up anything to just bring this feeling of feeling bad. So it can, it just, you know, at the end of the day is when you experience many interactions through the day, you experience many conversations through the day, you experience, you know, many is at the end of the day. So somehow it's gonna, ego every day manages to pick one of those, anything that happened, and every day is that moment that, and it's almost like a habit, not a habit, but it's just, and I've noticed that it's like, look, that's the moment. It's gonna be today this conversation, tomorrow another conversation, the conversation, I mean the topic, the content. But I noticed that around that time, it's going to pick up, I don't know, something from, you know, interaction with anything or something that I did. So I was wondering about, because sometimes I don't even realize it kind of just sinks in. It's almost like it's just slow. I don't know. And then it's when I'm noticing more and more, and I was wondering about what would, I don't know.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, Sylvia. One is, it seems like you've been paying attention, which is why you know that you can even predict the moment that it's going to happen, right? That it's kind of very predictable. The predictability is, you also understand why that's happening, right? So you're busy, you're active, your attention is on many things, and at the end of the day, it's sort of the activity level falls, and therefore there's a room to mull over the day, right? The whole day is now available to be picked apart by those
Correct.
And
correct,
it ends up,
yes.
Being like a, it's almost like a dip in energy, and so conditioning comes rushing in to make
yes.
hay of that moment, right? Of that vulnerability of, okay, I am relaxing now.
I'm relaxed, but I'm also a little tired too. So I'm also
yes,
tired.
Precisely, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's a low energy moment, and that makes you vulnerable to the mulling over of the day, and not being mulled over by somebody who's looking at it with love, but somebody who's looking at it with judgment. And then you end up feeling bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the pattern is very noticeable. And I project that you're looking at it because you don't want to feel bad in that moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it sinks in slowly.
Yeah, yes. But so it's a couple of things. So when you start to notice the sensation, do you have a lot of awareness in that place that some point during that process it drops in that you're in your feeling bad moment or in the feeling bad process?
I noticed it
uh-huh.
it's very, very recently, but normally instead of noticing the feeling bad, I notice the topic, the conversation is going to show up, I don't know, a specific interaction, it's going to bring up something. And that's what comes
yeah.
first, the conversation
yeah.
or
yeah.
the interaction or something that I, you know, anything. It can be anything.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, oh my goodness, this is something that happens every day.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
every day,
so
or, you know, very common. Mm-hmm.
Right. So one way of practicing with it is, I don't know, let's say your day ends at around 5:30, right? That you wind up mm-hmm. with whatever. You basically have a recording that you listen to at that moment of transition. Or if the transition happens over a period of time, you make yourself a recording that says, you know, I'm just done with my day. I know I'm going to be relaxing, and I know that feeling bad process is going to come around. So when that comes around, what I want to be listening to is, or as soon as you become aware of that feeling bad, you pick up the recorder and start to redirect your attention to what's going
mm-hmm.
on for you now.
Yes. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
Right? So since you've established that this process happens, then when it happens or right before it happens, you can actually support yourself to not have the pattern proceed whenever you become aware of it or before you become aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'll do. It is interesting that even being aware is like kind of, I like it's a bamboozle. I see it's a bamboozle. It still keeps, like, it keeps kind of like, I feel like it's almost like ego is like this. You know, they say the water always goes where it has to be. You know, the water goes. So it's
yes.
almost, it's
yes.
going to keep, it's going to keep doing what it does.
It absolutely is. It absolutely
mm-hmm.
is. And you paying closer and closer attention, which is what you've been doing, to
mm-hmm.
the thought that triggers it for you, is what's going to prevent the circuit from running its course, right? So
mm-hmm.
if you catch it 15 minutes in, that's progress. And if you keep paying attention, maybe you'll catch it 11 minutes in. But it's not a contest, right? It's just simply a training for you to be paying such close attention that you can almost feel the dip in energy that's going to cause that process to begin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
a good
so
idea.
You're just training to interrupt it in a very conscious way, right? So if we could stay conscious in it through every minute of the day, then, you know, when we're feeling low energy and we don't go unconscious, the feeling bad process won't kick in. So we have to train ourselves into that. And so you've got it down to, I know it's going to happen around this time. I know that it's going to be about any content, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a predictable, familiar process. I know how it feels. And so you just, you know, if between, say, 5 and 7 is when you're relaxing throughout the day, you have recordings lined up that you listen to at 5 o'clock, at 5:30. At 6, at 6:15, just
yeah.
so that you have the best chance of interrupting that feeling bad process rather than
mm-hmm.
for it to continue and take all your energy.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I was also thinking of, like, making some humor around it, like, look, feeling bad moment is here, or like,
you
know what I mean?
I can set my watch. Yeah, I could set my watch to how it shows up, right?
Yes, something like
that.
Yeah.
It's so pretty. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a recording. You can say, okay, at 5:15, I'm going to go for a little walk, and at 5:30, I'm going to do a little jig, or anything that is in your conscious awareness to bring you to here.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have a chance to sort of get its claws into you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense. Well, thank you so much. I'll listen to this again.
And keep it posted.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the experiment.
Okay. I will do that.
All right.
Thank you so much for everything, everyone. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks, Sylvia.
Thank you so much, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Sylvia. Ashwini, something about that conversation, it just seems so practical and supportive. Like, all these ways that once we've seen enough about whatever conditioned process is going on, you know, what's going to support us in making that movement to presence, you know,
mm-hmm.
setting up
yeah.
you know, a schedule where I listen to something, or just picking up a recorder, going for a walk, or
mm-hmm.
doing something to, now that we've seen plenty about the conditioning,
mm-hmm.
we can just actually just be here, and then what's going to support us doing that?
Mm-hmm. Well, and what you're saying, Bob, really, it's practical, and it's a process of training, right? It's training
mm-hmm.
to see,
mm-hmm.
it's training to notice. Once I've noticed, it's training to be here. And if that's what we do in our practice, is to have all these tools and then train ourselves to use the tools.
Right. And in my experience, that when I train myself and then I use the tool, what then happens is that the what I get, quote unquote, get out of it reinforces the desire to make that move, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm no longer in the conversation. I'm here. I'm in the
mm-hmm.
conversation with life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
yeah.
whatever I'm doing, but I'm not being beaten down by conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the result, the payoff of using the tool is the motivation to keep practicing. It's that ever expanding faith and devotion practice, right?
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to hear from our recording and learning training program, and then we'll
mm-hmm.
be back with more callers.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
All right, Ashwini, I'm going to bring our next caller here.
Bob, before you do, if I may say so, we just sent out a notice to ask Sangha if they want to do the recording and listening class, and just, it was just amazing. We had mm-hmm. such a tremendous response that we're going to be offering something like 8 sessions of the recording and listening training over August.
Wow.
We're going to have a huge Sangha experience of all of us doing the recording and listening course together. It's going to be so wonderful.
Yeah, I know. I jumped at that chance to do this mm-hmm. introductory course one last time. I had the energy arise to it, and then Kisha came in with, no, you don't need to do that. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I should do it.
Yeah. When 100 people in Sangha are going to do that over over a 5-week period, that would be something.
Yeah, definitely will. Yeah. It goes back to, there's just so much practice available to now. We just have to say yes.
Yeah.
All right. Next caller, you're now unmuted. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hey, Ashwini. I put myself in the queue because I was sitting here feeling really anxious and just and feeling kind of desperate to get out of that. Mm-hmm. And it just dropped in to just put myself in the queue. Queue practice is really supportive, even if you never get to be on. So while I was in the queue and listening, it was dropping in that the story that I'm the wrong person having the wrong kind of life is so prevalent that it creeps up on me. So mm-hmm. The voices never say you're the wrong person having the wrong life, or I'd catch it. You know, it's mm-hmm. It's all kinds of things about how I am and how people feel about me, and how what I do is not enough. And
would you say, Catherine, that's related to the feeling anxious? So feeling anxious, is that is it related to that subliminal message that you're getting, that you're the wrong person having the wrong life experience, and that that message is the anxiety?
I think that's it.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah, and
is the desperation to get out of it also part of that? I mean, if you process map the whole thing, would all of those elements that you just described be part of the process?
Yes, and also, yes, they would be part of the process. And also, if I were the right person, I could do this myself. I could have dropped this a long time ago, and uh-huh. I wouldn't need to put myself in the queue and reach out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that has to be the last part of the process, right? Because if you did anything right, then it wouldn't. Then the story wouldn't hold up.
Yeah. So.
And I might I just make a side comment, right, Catherine? You did put yourself in the queue, so you could get out of the experience. A word to ego for the next time it throws you the, or you
yeah.
think you're the wrong person doing the wrong thing, right?
No, I'm not. I put myself in the queue.
Yeah, I'm aware that there's a process. So there's a nuance there, right? So when you begin practice that, okay, I just feel anxious, right? But you've paid attention to the process long enough to be able to break it down to being able to articulate the process, and somehow when you articulate the process in this conversation that we're having, if all of the attention is on the conversation, you can't be anxious, right? Because we're talking about it.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is sort of why we pick up the recorder or we put ourselves in the queue to be facilitated, because as soon as I have my attention not in it, but not talking from it, but looking at it, I'm not in it anymore.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm in touch with just being really angry about it. Like there's some hurt, but there's anger. You know, it's just like, this is so oppressive, and I'm so tired of it. I think that's the maybe that's kind of around the desperation part of the process. Like, I'm so sick of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that doesn't contribute to, it has to be part of the process, right, Catherine? Because you're not saying you're sick about this and I'm never going to indulge it again. It's just simply I'm sick about it and it shouldn't be happening, right? Those are words from within the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's meant to make you feel like the wrong person who hasn't gotten over this yet. And if you're so sick of it, why do you keep indulging it, right? But that conversation is happening between two aspects of ego within the process map.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just like we have to keep looking at the process map from the perspective of when am I aware that I'm still in the process map, so I can get out of the process map.
Hmm.
Right. And, you know, the thing that we get to after so many years of practice, right, Catherine, is that the process map doesn't change.
Right.
Right? It's like the, what's it called? What's the movie? The Groundhog Day. You could go around, the stickies never change. They might be slightly nuanced and different, but I'm sick of this. I'm not good at that. Whatever. That,
yeah.
To just accept that the process map is not going to change. What changes is my ability to know that I'm in my process map, and the skill to get out of it more quickly than I used to before.
Yeah.
Right? The notion that I should never have this experience of suffering again, this particular content version of suffering again, is part of what perpetuates the suffering, because it's a setup for something that's never going to be true.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. You know, I was just saying, I don't process maps that I've done. I kind of do them, and I might work with them, you know, once, and then I don't look at them again. And how supportive it can be to be aware of the process map and to to see where I am in that process. Yeah, that could be I can see how helpful that could be. Yeah.
Right. As soon as you know, I mean, because you've talked about your process over and over again. So the process map doesn't need to be, you know, you spend weeks and weeks and weeks on it. You could do a process map of the process you're in verbally in 1.5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Which you just did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you know, you've worked with that process so many times.
Yeah. So I don't have to have the actual physical map, but I might, but I don't have to have that. I can pick up a recorder if there's not an opportunity to reach out at that point. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and say, okay, well, I guess, I mean, and as soon as you start to talk from that place, you'll hear you, and if as soon as you listen to that recording, there'll be sufficient disidentification to know you are in, you're in the process that makes you feel anxious and you're the wrong person. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Been there, done that. Where do I want my attention?
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Right, that's the step that we want to make, train ourselves to make.
Yeah. And
not
what...
to believe... what it, not to believe the process. So oftentimes we're so identified we can't see it. But then I think that our practice is sufficiently deep to know what an identification feels like, right? Which is why we train ourselves to pick up the recorder, because I want to disidentify. That movement of picking up the recorder already means I'm in awareness. And now if I talk about my process to the recorder, I can't be in my process. And then when I listen to it, I certainly can't be in my process.
Yeah, and and the process itself, when identified with the process, it always feels so real, and it has to be taken seriously.
And you have to do something about it.
I have to do something about it.
Right? And you do. The only thing you have to do is to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the content, right? That's what it has us believing, that it's the content you need to do something about, and the content in your case is you. You have to do something to make Catherine a better person, because she's feeling anxious and you know she's angry that she's not kicked this process after however many years of practice. So let's focus on how to make Catherine better. That whole dialogue just needs to clue you in on, okay, I'm in my something wrong with Catherine process. The only thing I've got to do right now is to get out of the something wrong with Catherine process.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. That's great. That's very helpful. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Catherine.
I'm glad I reached out. That's great.
Yes, exactly. And you can really trust that, right, Catherine?
Yeah.
That what Bob was talking about, ever expanding faith and devotion, that if I'm on this path, there will always be support to get me back when I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
If I tune into the beckoning of what I'm seeking is seeking me, you're never going to be astray for very long.
Yeah, very beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. And Ashwini, I'm going to try and bring on one more caller today.
Okay.
Hi. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Well, that was so cool, the last conversation. I just really saw with you two talking about how Ego 1 and Ego 2, when they're yelling at each other like that, that it's just your classic domestic violence, dysfunctional family household.
Lots of verbal abuse going around.
What was that?
Lot of verbal abuse going around.
Yes, yeah, and that the whole thing, like in training with all those, is that, you want to get them out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only way.
You want your attention. Yeah.
There's no solution within the family. You have to pull them out of that. And that's the same process that you were just talking about.
That exiting the conversation is the way out of suffering.
Yeah.
You don't try to resolve the situation. You don't engage. Right.
Exactly. You can't engage because there's no solution within that whole system. Yeah. So that was it was so clear when you said that it was, I wanted to share that it was so clear.
Yeah. Was that the insight that you were looking at too?
I don't know. So it was
I thought that's what you said.
Yeah, I was just listening along going, oh, wow, that's what that is, you know, and that made really easy to disidentify. My husband was a cop, and I worked in all that kind of stuff, so I have the training to recognize it and pull, you know, out of it, but I hadn't really applied that to my own head, inside my own head, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we never do we?
No.
To basically compare what goes on in our head to a situation of violence is stark, but so apt for some of the conversations that do go on, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And it requires something that's stark in order to go, well, actually, you know what? That's not a situation I want to be in.
Mm-hmm. And then you can really see why people get stuck in them. You know, like you go, why doesn't she just leave? Why doesn't, you know? Well, now the answer is all right here. you know?
Right, because we think about it, right? The entire situation, the resolution is happening inside our head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's an unsolvable problem that we keep repeating in the hopes of being able to solve it without realizing it's an unsolvable problem, right?
Yes.
In the domain, we're trying to solve it.
Yes, and that applies, oh my gosh, that even applies to a gazillion other things too. So thank you for that. But there was one thing from Sunday's workshop that I wanted to say. When we were in the middle of the workshop, when we're pointing at having a direct experience and not be getting caught up in the subject, object, and I and stuff like that, was that what the sense I got that what Sherry was pointing at was that it's just we're living in direct experience to direct experience to direct experience, and that's it.
I project she was. Maybe you can give me an example, Gail, because I often hesitate to just say yes to something because I don't know if I'm having the experience you're pointing to. And the context is so important because in the moment, something that is true may not be true in the next moment, right?
Oh,
which
yes.
is why we hesitate to have absolutes
yeah.
in this practice, because absolute is such a domain of conditioned mind. It's the fantasy of authority.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer to your question, but it sounds like you do.
It sounded like basically we dropped down out of language and subject object, and this is what we're trying to get. When we keep trying to say, what is this life living and just doing the activity from heart or center, it's I think what was dropping in for me in the workshop was is that if I can stay in my own actual experience
mm-hmm.
from moment to moment to moment, then that just sort of cuts through the language issues.
It absolutely does. And I think
yeah.
the encouragement is just to simply bring that attitude of direct experience also to language.
Such a language. Say that. Say some more.
When I'm talking about something like I'm doing right now, where am I looking for where I'm talking from? Right? And so those words, what are they attempting to convey? Where are they coming from?
Mm-hmm.
When I use words, am I conscious of being present to the word choice that I'm using? So if I refer to myself in the third person, am mm-hmm. I conscious that I'm doing that? And
right.
if I am referring to myself in the third person, what am I referring to, right? To be in that inquiry is, I think, the biggest encouragement.
So it's basically being conscious of, it's being in conscious language. You're conscious as you're speaking about how you're speaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're modeling that right now, right, Gail?
Yes.
Because you're asking me a question, and I'm looking to my experience to respond and giving words to what might make me feel uneasy in my response and attempting to articulate that, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and in that highlighting, okay, well then, what you're attempting to do is clarifying, but it might be important for you to look at why you need that clarity.
Yes.
In
oh,
that
that's
particular
fun.
Way, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Cool. Very, very cool. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Gail. And I love the conversation, Ashwini, because the word that came up as you both were talking is being almost like nurturing the process of curiosity in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so that.
Yeah.
Because I find that when I'm in curiosity, I'm not in a I know place or even I don't
mm-hmm.
know place. I'm
mm-hmm.
just like, huh, what am I seeing right now?
Oh, that's so well stated. And I think the processing is the device that allows us to always be in the inquiry and clarification rather than receiving conclusions, getting to conclusions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also helps me to be in that place of, well, really, almost in the process of no assumption of it, like, I can't, you know, it's just, when I'm just walking through life and I'm just like, just kind of like experiencing everything as it is in that moment, it really helps to, well, just to nurture that presence and to nurture that curiosity.
Yeah, I love the word nurture.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of this show, Ashwini. Another great open air. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today. And,
thank you so much, Bob. Deep
gacho. Sure. All right.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Go happy.